from it. And in the name of Lord Jesus, we begin our session with saying a hymn to praise God, 415. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I speak. We are going to continue with our reading of 2 Peter chapter 3. Just to recap what we said yesterday, chapter 2 talks about the emergence of false prophets amongst the people of God, and how they will secretly bring in destructive heresies. We find that there are two key points mentioned yesterday. And the first is to deny the Lord. To deny that the Lord is one according to Jude. And the second is to, blaspheme the way of truth. Right? Very unfortunately, we find that according to the predictions given by Peter, that many would follow their destructive route. So it seems like this is an inevitability that people will follow, right? Now, so in order to help ourselves and to guard our faith against the infiltrations of heresies, we have to root ourselves in the Word. Right? I think this is the key message given by Peter. As we have mentioned also, we know that Peter at that point in time knew that he was about to depart from the world. So what was in his mind is that he cared so much for the church that he did not wish that, you know, the members, especially those who scattered, would be influenced by this heresy. Right? So it's like, you know, you can see the caring nature of an old person before he died. Right? That, you know, he wished that the church will be fully built up. Right? Now, we also mentioned some of the characteristics that are exhibited by the false prophets. And one of them is, they were not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries and speak ill of those who are in position or in leadership. And according to Peter, they are presumptuous, self-willed, right? Very stubborn, and very, intransigence. Right? Okay. Now, today we are going to look at chapter 3. Right? Chapter 3. We turn to chapter 3. We look at verse 1 and verse 2. Beloved, now I write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. Verse 2, that you may be mindful of the word which was spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostle of the Lord and Savior. Right? Again, we find that Peter was trying his very best with the help of God to stir up their pure minds. Here we find that only those with this mindset, the mind of simplicity, you know, can accept the word of God. Paul once says that, you know, he was afraid that the members in Corinth, their simplicity in Christ Jesus was corrupted. Why is it corrupted? According to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, they were corrupted by what? By deception. Right? So when we first accept the gospel, for example, we find that our heart is very pure, simple, and we know that the way is true, is correct. And for some reasons, if you're not careful, then this simplicity in Christ Jesus can be tarnished, can be corrupted. And so once it is corrupted, it becomes very difficult, you know, for us, to come back to this formal state of having purity in Christ Jesus. Right? So that's why Peter was doing his best to remind the believers. Now, in verse 3, Peter used a very strong word to describe those who try to bring in this heresy. He used the word scoffers, right? Scoffers. In Proverbs, we can turn to Proverbs chapter 9. Right? And to see what kind of person is a scoffer. We look at chapter 9. Verse 7 and verse 8. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7 and verse 8. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Right? Now, we find that it's like, according to Proverbs, yeah? If the person here is the same as the one mentioned by Peter, it seems that a scoffer is beyond what? Teaching. Right? No matter how you try, you know, to correct and to help, you find that this person not only will not show any gratitude to what you have done for him, what you get in return is that he will bite you. Right? That's why he said he hates you. Right? It's beyond teaching. Right? That's why it's like Peter is saying that, you know, there are scoffers who come in the last days. Within the community of faith, it's like beyond any form of corrections, right? Now, if I can quantify the rebellions, okay, if you put it in a spectrum, right, you find that maybe scoffer, yeah, occupies the highest point. Do you get what I'm saying? It's like the worst, yeah, because it's beyond any help, right? So, I think the main reason here is that, yeah, Peter encourages us not to become scoffers ourselves, right? So you know that these are the false teachers. Obviously, you know, initially they must be good, and for some reason they turn and you find that now they walk according to their own lusts. Now the lust here do not just refers to immorality. Right? When you read Galatians chapter 5, you find that, yeah, the last year can refer to what? The work of the flesh. The work of the flesh. Right? So when you look at the Galatians chapter 5 very carefully, and the whole list there tells us a lot about, you know, the nature of the person. Like, you know, the work of the flesh includes what? Pride, jealousy, and in fact, in the list, you find that heresy is mentioned also. Okay, heresy is mentioned. Okay, now we come back to chapter 3. Now this scoffer, you find that in the context of 2 Peter, they denounce the promise of God, right? And they no longer believe that the promise of his coming was genuine or was true for whatever reasons, right? So it's like, you know, they mock at the word of God, saying that this could not be true. So sometimes you find that the mind can really play a trick on us, you know, if we don't keep our mind, you know, under control, under the grace of God, it can just turn against us very easily for whatever reasons, right? Now, so these people that they did not believe in the promise of God anymore. And so Peter was trying to tell the church or the believers that, yeah, you know, the word of God is not given to change. Yeah? Now many thousand years we find that the word of God, you know, created the universe, and by the same word, the very word, and that the universe now stands. Right? So in a way, it's showing us that this word of God, it remains firm, remains strong, and most importantly, it is unchanging. It's not given to change. Right? Now, we move to verse 10 to verse 13. Yeah? Verse 10 to verse 13. Here it talks about the day of the Lord, the second coming of God. Yeah? So when it comes, what happens? The heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up. Yeah, it talks about, you know, what would happen to the universe when Christ comes again. So it is like the entire universe will be melted away in intense heat. Okay, now we know that as Christians we have this hope of what? of seeing the face of Jesus Christ, right? Now, so if you look at verse 11, it says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Okay, we know that that is the destiny of the universe, meaning one day when Christ comes again, and it shall pass away, right? Now, in view of that, how should we conduct ourselves? And so, according to Peter, we must what? Conduct ourselves in holy conduct and godliness, and looking for the coming of the day of the Lord. Now, the Bible also tells us, no one knows exactly when Christ will come again, right? Not even Jesus, when he was in the flesh, he did not know when the Father would come. Now, the thing is, if you look at verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now, we are waiting for the coming of God. We get ourselves prepared for the second coming of Christ. Now, the question is, how are we going to do it, right? Now, if you look at verse 13, it talks about new heaven and new earth. If we say, based on Revelation, if we say the new heaven and new earth here refers to the church, which has reached perfection, then I think here it gives us an idea that in preparing for the second coming of Christ, what we have to do is that collectively speaking, we have to work together to ensure that the church reaches what? The church reaches perfection. That is how we get ourselves prepared. Right? Because we do not know exactly when he is going to come. Right? So by helping the church, by helping one another to build up our faith, in preparation for the second coming of Christ, right? Or by building up the church to reach perfection, we are actually preparing ourselves for the second coming of Jesus. Right? Now I want you to read Isaiah. Please turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 65. Now, I think that the new heaven and new earth is closely linked to Jerusalem, that is the church. Right? We read chapter 65, verse 17 right, to 19. Okay, Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17 to verse 19. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and a people of joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Okay? Now, so the new heaven and new earth here is closely connected to like the new Jerusalem, because God here created Jerusalem as a rejoicing city. Okay, so one of the characteristics that stands out here is that in that city there shall be no more weeping. Okay, now what does it mean there? What does it mean here when there's no more weeping? Okay, when we said that when Christ comes again, there shall be no more tears. All tears shall be wiped away. No more weeping. Okay, now if we turn to Isaiah chapter 25, we read seven, and verse 8, Now, and he will destroy on this mountain. The mountain here refers to the holy mountain. Obviously, in our context today, it refers to the church. Right? He will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. Verse 8. And he, God, will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. Okay? Now, so we find that when there is no more tears or whatever, it means that death has been completely swallowed up. The church has become victorious. Your sin can no longer influence the church, right? But, you know, by looking at the current state of the church, obviously there is still much room for improvement, right? So that's why it's important. We know that Christ is coming and everything else will be melted away. So in preparing for us to see Christ, we have to ensure that the church, what? Reaches perfection, right? That's why there's much work to be done within the church, right? Now, so today, if I help the church, or collectively we come together to build up the church, I'm actually helping myself as well to see the face of Jesus, right? So that's why when you look at 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, then this new heaven and new earth is the place where righteousness dwells. You know, righteousness in its simplest sense means sinlessness. There's no more sin. Okay? So that's why, you know, the church to us is everything. Okay? Without the church, we have no salvation. Right? Now, that's why we find that everyone is responsible, yeah, towards the church. Okay? We build the church. We want the church to be good. We care for the church because the church is everything to us. Okay? So I think if we have this understanding, we are actually getting ourselves prepared to see the face of Christ. So if the church, if we feel that the church, you know, is not good for us, you know, we have, you know, so many unpleasant experiences with the church or whatever, it's like we are not preparing ourselves. Okay, we are not preparing ourselves. Okay, so I think we need to understand this, that the church is the body of Christ, you know, by which we are saved. Okay, now we look at turn back to 2 Peter. Before I talk about verse 14 to verse 16, I want you to first read verse 17. Okay. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Okay? Now, verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Okay? So, here we are told that we can fall from our steadfastness. Yeah? Why is that possible? If we are not careful, we can be led away with the error of the wicked. Now, here obviously it refers to what? To the false teachers as mentioned in chapter 2. Or it refers to the scoffers, yeah, who never learned the word of God. Okay? Now, that's why they are called scoffers. Okay? They are entangled, yeah, by their own lusts. Right? Now, so, you know, today we thank God because we have given this a firm foundation, you know, which is in Jesus Christ. But we have to be very careful, okay, and not to fall from our own steadfastness. Right? So that's why we always say that we must really know what we believe in. You know, because conceptual things, yeah, you know, things of the mind, yeah, can really influence us very easily. Right? So if you are not careful, you find that it can, you know, gradually take control over your mind, and to a point that you find that you are actually under the dictate of that concept. Okay? Now today we thank God because we are given the truth. Yeah? We know the basic belief. And with this basic belief, the church, yeah, is established, you know, in different places or in different parts of the world. Right? Okay, now we come back to verse 14 to verse 16. Yeah? 14, verse 16. Here it says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Okay, now, so obviously 13 and 14 can be read together. Right? So, like what we said, if this new heaven and new earth refers to the church in perfection, that obviously what? To reach that perfection, individually speaking, we must be diligent to be found by God in peace, without spot and blame, without any blame. Okay? Now, in verse 15, here is specifically mentioned about Paul, because Peter is saying that he has been given wisdom. He has written things which are difficult to understand. So he is encouraging the believers not to what? Not to twist. Okay, now, verse 16, to me, is a very important verse. Okay? As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of this thing in which are something hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Now, I think the important thing is we must be faithful to the word of God. Right? We cannot twist the word. And the problem with twisting is very hard to define how you twist. Actually, is the mind. Is the mind. Okay? And it starts with unbelief. Or because you have been influenced, you have been challenged or whatever, or because your faith in God is not strong, that's why your mind can be twisted, right? Now, so, and here it also says, because these people twisted the word of Paul, and they also had twisted the rest of the scriptures. You know, it's very strange, you know? Okay? Our believer is like a, what do you call it? It's like a package. It comes in a set, right? Now, if you start doubting one bit of it, you know what happened? It's like you are tilting the balance of your faith. Okay? Let's say you start to doubt, say, foot washing. Okay? You don't believe that foot washing have a part with Jesus. But after a while, you find that you will start doubting the other teaching as well. Okay? Because you have started twisting the word. It's like the floodgate is open. Right? So once you start doubting one aspect of the truth that you have received, we're talking about the basic belief, chances are that you start doubting the others. Right? So it's a whole package. You cannot change it. You must. It's a pattern given to God. So you must hold on to it. Right? Now, here it also says, in verse 16, this is something which are hard for the untaught, unstable people to understand. You know, I've been thinking about this, believers in general, like us, like we ourselves, we always come to the church week in, week out, we listen to sermons, we attend seminars, you know, we join in fellowship, all these activities conducted in church. Now the question is, how is it that we can become untaught? It's quite incomprehensible. Right? I listen to the word of God week in, week out, and then it's like, at the end, it's like, I'm not taught. How can that be possible? Right? Now, we know that this is something spiritual. Right? I want you to look at one example in the Bible. Now, we turn to 2 Timothy. chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we read from verse 6. For this sort are those who creep into household and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sin, led away by various lusts. Now, verse 7. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Right? Now, they have been studying, learning, listening, and what? They cannot come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, obviously, it has a lot to do with what? Their lusts. Right? Now, just like what we mentioned before, and the last here refers to the works of the flesh as mentioned in Galatians. Right? Like, one of them is heresies, and the other one is the pride, jealousy, the heart is not right with God. So if the heart is not right with God, obviously you can learn nothing. And then even though we have been taught week in, week out, we find that, you know, the word cannot create a positive impact in our mind. So, you know, the heart must be right before God in order to have this spiritual effect, you know, in order to allow the word of God, you know, to strengthen us. So we find that these people, even though they are taught so often, they remain untaught. Now, so it's quite clear if a person is not taught and is not stable, so when the winds of the doctrine start blowing, then what happens? He will be tossed here and there, by every doctrinal wind. Okay? So it's important, Now, in the pursuit of the knowledge of God, the hearts must be right. Okay? The hearts must be right. Okay. Now we are going to pray. For those who need laying hands, please come forward. Can you get some?